Well, we're actually closing a series this morning that we've entitled New Beginnings, New Seasons. This is our fourth part and final part in the series. And, you know, we started it off because of spring happening, a new season that we're entering, obviously a few weeks ago, with spring coming upon us, getting out of the winter season. Of course, we don't have a whole lot of winter in Florida, but I tell you what, it was really nice yesterday. That breeze was really, really, really good out there. We were doing a lot of work. We kind of worked with the school yesterday. We did some planting out front of the church and also the portables back here, and we were moving tables and chairs. They had a car wash as well. They did great with that. And so it was just a really, really good work day out there yesterday. But, you know, again, the season's changing, and so we've talked about that. As Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us this, there's a time for everything and a season for everything under heaven. And then he lists in that same chapter all the different things, a time for this, a time for that. Read that at your convenience. So there's a time and a season for everything. One of our really good friends, Alan Baker, who always fills in for us when we're away, Alan has written a book called Pensée, and it's a French word meaning thoughts. And it was actually originally written to pastors. Of course, he has Journey of Pastoral Counseling, where he mentors just a number of young ministers all over the country that are coming up in not only our denomination, but several others as well. He does such a great job with them. And this book was written mainly for pastors, but it's got some great stuff in it. And so Alan Baker adds this from his book in tying into what we're talking about in regards to new seasons. And he writes this, "As an under-shepherd of the great Good Shepherd, my work assignment is to recognize what God is doing and join him in doing it." That's not just a word for pastors. That's a word for every Christian. What is God doing, and how can we join with him in fulfilling his plan and his great commission for this planet? And then he says, "For everything in my life and ministry, there is a season, a harvest for which God is planning and working." And then he says, "As I take on this assignment, I must understand that God's first work is in me, forming me in the image of his Son. Through cycles of sowing, watering, cultivating, and yes, even pruning, God is ever working to conform me to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. My priority in joining him in this work is beginning with consistently giving myself to the word and to prayer." Remember, the disciples said, we're not going to take our time to wait on tables. We're going to appoint men to do that. But we, as the disciples, we're going to devote ourselves to the word of God and to prayer. That's what you and I need to do as well today, is put the emphasis back on the word of God and on prayer in our lives. Alan continues with this. He says, "But as you give yourself to the work of God in and through you, it is essential that you understand God's seasons and work in rhythm with them." I like that word, rhythm. "Seasons of sowing and reaping, waiting and working, seasons of our youth, and then our later years of life. But each season holds its own life-giving rhythms. How vital it is that we step in time with those rhythms so the work of God in and through our lives in each season might be fruitful." God wants us to bear fruit, and he wants us to bear fruit that will remain. Jesus tells us that in John chapter 15. In Galatians 5:25, we find this, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Now, our own Kathy Savoy writes this. She says, "Let's live step by step with the Spirit, following his timing, his pace, and his direction." In regards to his timing, she writes this, "Be patient and trust him." Be patient and trust him. Trust his timing, not our timing. And then secondly, his pace. Don't rush ahead of or lag behind him. But again, let's stay in tune and in touch and in step with the Holy Spirit. And then finally, his direction. ask the Lord to keep us on the straight path. Amen? Let's not waver too far off that path. We don't want to go lean to the right or left too far. We want to stay in the center of God's will for our lives. And so, Lord, lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Amen? Alan Baker writes again, I love this part. He says, people feel the love of God in the spring seasons of life as we experience being born again or personal revival or as God's creation in us is renewed. We know his joy in the warm months of our full life summers, fruitfulness and contentment in the harvest season of fall. But then this question, but where is God in the winter seasons of life? Why can God seem so far away when life becomes cold to us? Where is the rhythm of the Spirit in the hard days of our spiritual winters? And are the winters of our lives really destined to be seasons of only cold isolation? If there's one thing that the enemy of our soul really won in the COVID situation is in regards to isolation. That's a tool of the devil to isolate us from others. And COVID did that to a lot of people. A lot of folks died alone during the season of COVID, whether they were in hospitals or rest homes or whatever, unable to be seen by family and friends, by loved ones. And so that isolation is a real issue. But Alan answers all those questions we just mentioned about the winters of life. He says, no, even in life's winters, God is at work in the world. Even though things around us may feel cold and dark and dreary and we don't understand, God is still at work. Even when your world seems lifeless and cold, God is at work in you. Look for it. Scan the horizons of your life. Think on what wonders that God is even now working in and through you, maybe even in areas that we can't even see. But that chorus tells us God is always working. God's always working. Even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it, God is always working on our behalf, all things for our good. Psalm 31:14 and 15 tells us this. David writes, he said, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. All the seasons of my life, all the seasons of your life are in the hands of God. Let's skip down to verse number 19 of that same chapter, Psalm 31, and let's pick up at verse number 19. And David writes this. He says, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. I like what that verse says, the goodness of the Lord that he stored up for us. It's just waiting for us. Whatever we need and whenever we need it, it's waiting for us. It's stored up for us. And for those that fear him, those of us that reverence him, that stand in awe of him. But he says, you know what? You also, God, you bestow this goodness that you bless us with. You bestow that on us, but you do it in the sight of men. People around us will see the blessing and the goodness of God in our lives, and hopefully they'll ask, how can you be so blessed in such a season as this in which we're living? How can there be such goodness and blessing in your life in the midst of all the chaos in which we live? Well, the answer is God is good. God is watching out for us. He stored up his goodness for those of us that love him. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be a distinction between those that know God and those that don't, between those that are serving him and those that are not. There'll be a great distinction. Daniel says the people that know their God in the last days are going to be strong and do exploits in his name. And so his goodness, his blessing, is going to be shed abroad and poured out upon us in the sight of men around us. And on those who take refuge in God, his goodness is poured out, David says in verse 19. Verse 20, he says, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them. I love that. Again, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in the world around us, we can hide in the shelter of God's presence. Another one, under the shadow of his wings, we find refuge. He says, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. So even from things that people would try to maybe harm us or just kind of mess us up or mess with us, how the enemy does, using people, you know, he says, you're going to be hidden in the shelter of God's presence from the intrigues, from the plans of men that would be against you. He says, in your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Even those that would speak out, try to speak out against us or say something bad about us, God will protect us from accusing tongues. Very similar portion of Scripture in the Old Testament as well. And he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, that kind of stuff is not going to hurt you or harm you, all these things. Verse 21, David says, praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Underline those two words if you have your Bibles open, cut off. David said, I'm cut off from your sight. I'm in a besieged city. I'm in a city that's being attacked. And we're upset. We're concerned, obviously. We don't know what's going to happen. I feel like I'm cut off from your sight. But yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. I love that. God always hears, and God will always answer prayer. Might not be in the way we want, might not be in the time frame that we want, but God always hears and always answers prayer. One of my devotionals, Great is Thy Faithfulness, adds this interesting little illustration here. It says, during Antarctica's nine-month winter, sounds like our summers, right? During Antarctica's nine-month winter, the continent is engulfed in darkness and the temperature sinks to 115 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. Flights are halted from late February to November, leaving workers at scattered research stations isolated, there's that word again, and virtually cut off from outside help. Yet in 2001, two daring rescue missions penetrated the polar winter and airlifted people with serious medical conditions to safety. He writes, we all feel helpless and cut off at times, don't we? It may seem that not even God can hear or answer our cries for help. The psalmist David, as we just read, said in a time of trouble, I am cut off from before your eyes, O Lord. But David discovered that the Lord had not forgotten him, and he rejoiced, as we just read in that psalm, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Whatever you need this morning, if you just call out to the Lord, just cry out to him, he's going to hear and he's going to answer prayer. God will come through for you. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Amen. God is faithful in every situation. So a question, what circumstances make you feel helpless or hopeless today? What are you battling? What are you going through? What have you been going through? What are you what-ifing in your mind? What am I going to go through tomorrow? You know how our imaginations can run wild with us. But what circumstances tend to make you feel helpless or hopeless? Poor health, broken relationships, a family member in need? What would it be? Well, in Jesus Christ, he writes, God has pierced the dark winter of our world in a daring rescue through his redeeming love. The love of God, the peace of God, the grace of God, the favor of God, all these things. He's therefore able to reach us wherever we are and calm our fears in the midst of it. In the most desperate of circumstances, he's always there. We are never cut off from the mighty power and sustaining peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's always there for us. He's there with us. And through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, for those of us that know Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit resides within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once again, Alan writes this. He says, how vital it is that we work in rhythm with every season. There's that word again. that we are in step with God, in tune with the Holy Spirit. Only then will we be able to thrive in those seasons, be they the energetic days of our springs or the quieting days of our winters. Let's learn to recognize the seasons of our lives. Let's learn the rhythms of each season, our springs, summers, falls, and yes, even our winters. Let's discover what God is doing in each of those times and join Him in doing it. To help us in this work, let's find His rhythm for each day, each week, and each season of our lives. We've talked about, over these past weeks, asking you, what season do you sense that you're in? Because just because it may be springtime in the Northern Hemisphere right now, doesn't mean it's springtime in your life. Doesn't mean that you feel a new freshness, a new life, a new beginning, a new whatever starting for you. You may still be in a winter time. You may be in a fall. Maybe you're in a good place, a place of harvest, you know. But where are you in the season of life right now? But because we know who holds all the seasons of life, who knows what blessings the next season of our life is going to hold for us. Amen? Individually, as couples, as families, and as the family of God, we have no idea what great things God has in store for us. Who knows what harvest that next season of our life may yield? God wants to bless us with a fruitful harvest, and He wants, again, our fruit to remain. In one of the messages, we talked about God telling the people of Israel that by the time they are ending the harvest from the previous year that they've stored up, that they've been using and eating, He says it's going to be time to throw that away because the new harvest is coming in. God always has abundance. God always has a fresh supply. He's never out of blessing or out of finances. Whatever it is you need, emotional help, a relationship that needs to be repaired, whatever it is, God has all of that under control, and He can do whatever you need Him to do at any given moment. Daily Wisdom for Men writes again this word, Tuesday, December 21st, 2021. So this past December 2021 marked the winter solstice. We're talking about seasons, and this is a winter season that we were in back then. It was the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. We experienced that day, the shortest day and the longest night of the year. Because of its place in the yearly cycle, many cultures have celebrated the solstice as a time of death and a time of rebirth. Winter may be a time when the world looks dead, but since the days are going to get longer from that winter solstice and the nights shorter, because of that, hope isn't lost. We feel so much better about life that the nights will be shorter, the days will be longer. So the natural world with its seasons and even its agricultural cycles might inspire some to believe that even the afterlife works cyclically. But as Christians, we know better, don't we? For us, rebirth, being born again, it's not part of a cycle. It's a one-time event to know Christ as Savior. By being exposed to the truth of God's Word, by experiencing His love, we have been pulled out of the earthly cycle. Man, I love that. That's what we're about to celebrate next Sunday. We've been pulled out of this earthly cycle of life and death, because death doesn't work the same once we've been born again. Death is never the same because Jesus defeated death. He said, even though we die, yet we're going to live. Amen? He's the first fruits from the grave that we're going to celebrate next Sunday. So death doesn't work the same way once we've been born again. Being born again for a Christian doesn't mean that the days are going to get longer and the nights shorter from here on out. It means that day never turns to night. The Bible says there'll be no night there. It's only going to be daytime in that place called heaven. The plants don't die at the end of the season because winter is a thing of the past. In heaven, there'll be no more winters of our lives, no more dead seasons for the world. It will always be brightness, always light. The old order of things passed away, all things becoming new. New heavens, new earth. Amen. God will dwell among us. Finally, what he always longed for from the Garden of Eden on, he wanted to dwell among his people. He said, I'll be their God, they'll be my people, and I will dwell among them. Emmanuel, God with us. And this morning I want to close once again with a scripture I closed a couple of weeks ago. It's from Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, whichever you want to call it, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And it's a prophecy. It's a prophetic word. Because, as I said, I believe the world in which we live today, even though it may be springtime on the calendar, I think our world is still in a winter. We're still in the winter season. There's so much going on that is not good on this planet. Paul tells us it's not going to get better, but it's going to get worse the closer we get to the second coming. And so this is a prophetic word about what is to come. And Solomon writes this. He says, see, the winter is past. Well, that's, again, it's why it's a prophetic word, because that hasn't happened yet. But it's coming. He says, the winter one day is going to be past. The rains will be over and gone. Flowers will appear on the earth. The season of singing will come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The cooing of doves is peace. It's a symbol of peace, a dove. And so that symbol, he says, the cooing of doves, this symbol of peace, is going to be heard once again in our land. The world talks about peace. The world is always struggling for peace. We have fought so many wars to gain peace, and we still don't have peace. One day, there will be a person called the Antichrist that will come on the scene, and for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation time, there will finally be peace, because he will actually coordinate peace between Israel, all of the Arab neighbors, and that'll be a season of peace that we finally think, the world will think, oh man, finally peace has come to the earth. But then we know that that second half of the tribulation is when God's wrath begins to be poured out on man, when the Antichrist tries to get the Jewish people to worship him as God, and that's not going to happen. And so all of this is to come. And so the only time that peace, real peace, eternal peace, is going to come to this planet is when our Lord and Savior comes back. Amen. And so when he comes back, that's when we will experience this perfect peace that we sang about this morning. We can have it in our hearts as believers, as Christians, but the world around us knows nothing of the real peace until they come to know Christ. They're bound in all kinds of addictions. They're bound in all kinds of sin, lifestyles that many are trying to break free from, addictions. And only Jesus can bring that kind of peace to their hearts and lives in this world. But David said, I'm still confident of this, that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just in the sweet by and by in heaven, but right here, right now, God's blessing can come upon people that you and I know and love that may be far from Christ this morning.